Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
This is Chef Emily Peterson, host of Sharp and Hot. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
All in the Industry is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep HRN alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now. Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is Wednesday, August 10th, and this is the 115th episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, my guest is the CEO of a top event production and restaurant management company, and I will introduce him in a moment. First, as I do on every show, I will start out with my PR tip. Then later, we will have my speed round game, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to diversify. Explore different interests and seek new opportunities. Don't think you can only go in one direction with your career. Rather, you can pursue a variety of projects, and perhaps they will all tie naturally together and benefit each other. You don't need to put all of your eggs in one basket. Instead, remember, the sky's the limit, so reach for it and be diverse. That is my tip today. Now, I'm thrilled to have my guest calling in today from the West Coast. It is David Allen Bernal, the CEO and co-founder of Coastal Luxury Management, or CLM, which creates unique experiential opportunities in the hospitality, entertainment, restaurant, and event sectors. CLM has been named one of Inc. magazine's top food and beverage companies in 2012 and 13, and has been included in Inc.'s annual ranking of the fastest growing privately owned companies in the U.S. for the past 2 years. CLM produces Pebble Beach Food and Wine and the Los Angeles Food and Wine Festival, both recognized for the curation of the highest caliber of culinary and wine talents to create once-in-a-lifetime experiences. CLM restaurant division includes Restaurant 1833 and Cannery Row Brewing Company, and the company also has launched Vessel, offering a highly curated selection of glassware and tabletop accessories. Woof! So, with all that, let me welcome David Allen Bernal.
Hi, Sherry. How are you doing?
I know. I just kept going.
You just tired me out, I think, just listening to all that stuff. It reminded me of all the stuff I got to worry about right now. Jeez.
No. I mean, it was, well, I don't know. I could have done the whole show on your bio because there are a lot of accolades and things I'm missing out on, but that's the brief. And
you can find them all on eBay. It's okay.
Well, cool. Well, thanks for coming on my show today. I'm excited
to
talk to you. So I like to start out with people's backgrounds, and a part of your bio I didn't read was that you were in fashion, I believe, before culinary.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I've been in every anything the banks say don't do, I've been in for the most part. Restaurants, retail stores, you name it. But that's the real sign of a college dropout, right? So my first business, I was 22 years old when I started Pacific Tweed, which was a luxury men's and women's clothing store in Carmel, California. So we had a lot of fun with it. You know, we carry lines like Prada and Brioni and Keaton and Alexander McQueen, and we were kind of the first doing selling, you know, really crazy overpriced stuff. It wasn't overpriced, but you know, it was expensive luxury goods in this market. And so that's kind of how that was my first entrepreneurial endeavor. I was working at a clothing store, really loved what I was doing. I was actually just trying to get a wardrobe together so I could transfer back to the Midwest. I was planning on going and finishing college at Notre Dame, and I just decided that I wanted to try this for myself. And so 18 months later, and I had a whole bunch of the staff at the store I was working with kind of jumped with me, and we decided to change our lives forever. So that was how it all got started.
So why? I mean, why switch to culinary?
You know, it wasn't a switch, actually. It just was, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Okay.
I love new projects. I get endlessly passionate about, taking a deep dive in everything that I do. And I think so that is sort of a entrepreneurial ADD, I guess. It doesn't matter if we're talking dry cleaners or vacuums or, food and wine festivals, restaurants. So, I was kind of a fat kid at heart, and I loved to eat and drink. And one of the things that we would do, because we had so many great clients that shopped with us from around the world at our store, is we'd sponsor a lot of lifestyle events, there was an event at here in Carmel at the Highlands Inn that went on for 21 years called the Masters of Food and Wine. And so we were just a sponsor of it. And how it all came to be, when I enjoyed it, we got to know a lot of the chefs and the wineries, and I got more and more into food, which is, a hobby and a habit that, really, really you can't steer away from once you get into it. And a buddy of mine that was the food and beverage director at that hotel at the time called me one day and said, "Dave, the Highlands Inn, which was a Park Hyatt property, I don't think they're going to stay at Park Hyatt. They're going to turn it into a timeshare. And timeshare division of Hyatt wasn't that interested in keeping this luxury food and wine event." And, that was just kind of where the idea came, well, maybe we can go and buy it from them, let's do this, man, let's go. And so I knew nothing about operating festivals, of course. I just knew that, it was a great group of people, and I loved the camaraderie and the people in the hospitality industry are like such a beautiful, amazing bunch of people. They're giving, hardworking, creative. And I just loved the idea of doing this. So, not that much longer, it's the last Masters of Food and Wine. And just to tell you how that worked, we obviously didn't buy the Masters of Food and Wine, but Hyatt decided to move it to the Park Hyatt Mendoza in Argentina. So instead of selling to us, they took this 21-year-old sellout event, and they moved it thousands of miles out of the country, which in 2007, if you think about this, the two biggest food and wine events in the United States were Aspen Wine and Food Wine Classic and South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
Right.
And here we were in California in the Salad Bowl of the United States, and California didn't have a single nationally recognized four-day food and wine event. Like a full weekend production. There's a lot of good single day events. Auction Napa Valley is great, like all these things, but a 4-day full on festival. And so we decided to build Pebble Beach Food and Wine, which was right here in our backyard.
Yeah, because next year's going to be 10 years on that, right?
The 10th anniversary. Okay. I don't know how the time flies, but yeah, it was the 10th anniversary. It's unbelievable.
Well, for someone who I've gotten to know you from going to food and wine festivals, but I've always been embarrassed to say I have not been to Pebble Beach, but I'm planning to come out there next year because I've always heard such wonderful things about it. I've heard it's just gorgeous, first of all, and it's one of the best culinary events now being produced by you, and I need to see it.
I think you do need to see it. Yeah, I think 10 years is long enough to wait. I think we need to get you out here. I mean, it's 4 days of hedonism in a forest, right? We've got, about 125 of the world's best chefs, 250 wineries from around the world, almost an endless barrage of events, whether small or large, like no matter what you're into, what you want to do, in I think one of the most beautiful backdrops in the world, right here on the coastline at Pebble Beach. I mean, it's magical. So it's like all these great things coming together, and it is crazy to think it's been 10 years, but so many cool things have happened. We've got this amazing partnership with Mentor, which is Thomas Keller and Daniel Balut and Jerome Bocuse's organization, helping to take Team USA to win the gold, hopefully this coming year, at the Bocuse store in Lyon. And so we're the official festival in the United States of Team USA, so we do a lot of really great events with all those guys. We've got an amazing lineup of international chefs, a lot of the biggest ones, the coolest wineries in the world. It's just there's so many fun things going on that, like, even if you're not into food and wine, you can't have a bad time.
Right. No, it's I'm Yeah, I know it's just from looking at the photos and reading about it, I know it's magical. So I need to get out there. Now,
We will help organize this trip.
Oh, fantastic. But I did go out. Now, the first year that LA Food and Wine Festival launched, and so it had to have been 6 years ago, I was there because that was your next – was that the next big festival that you took on?
So then that was another, you know, LA was one of those where after we launched Pebble Beach in 2008, was our first year, we had a lot of phone calls from a lot of cities, both nationally and internationally, where people, you know, the food scene had obviously just gone crazy, right? And celebrity chefs were a big deal, farm to table was a big deal, Source Verified, everyone wanted to know where their pork was coming from and what the name of the pig was and, like, you know how many days the lettuce was. Like, everyone really got into it, and so it became, which is great, right? I think it was a long time coming for, let's say, you know, pretty much everybody in the United States to really just, like, embody the food scene in such a powerful way. And it really kind of finally showed up all in a moment, thanks to a lot of people, you know, bringing food television, Food Network. There's a lot of people that helped that conversation forward. And then after, you know, everyone checked the box off and they're like, oh, Rachel Ray taught me about EVOO. And, like, it was just started becoming more and more conversation about food and then more shows about food. So the topics just grew. So I think in the world, like, everybody all of a sudden was just like, wow, we need our own food and wine festival. And so we were talking to a lot of different cities, Dallas, Las Vegas, Toronto. Mm-hmm. We were also looking here. Like, LA is one of my favorite places on the planet, and I spend, you know, half my time in Carmel and half my time in Los Angeles. And the food scene in LA, I think, is probably the hottest food scene in the world at the moment.
It's happening.
It's for all these cool reasons, right? You've got these chefs that just, like, there are no rules there. There isn't, like, a way to do things. Like, people are pushing boundaries in LA, and they're trying things that are wacky. They're trying things that are they're just forward, that are edgy, and also traditional. And I love to see, it's a hotbed of creativity, it's a hotbed of newness. And so Los Angeles, again, the big food and wine event down there was Wolfgang Puck's American Wine and Food Festival, which went on for 30 years. And it was just, one night at the Universal Studios, or in the back lot. And then they did a dinner at Spago. And so to think about the entertainment capital of the world is Los Angeles, not having a 4-day nationally recognized food and wine festival, for us, it was just like, this is like, God, this is natural. Like, we've got entertainment, we've got celebrities, mm-hmm. we've got comedians, we've got all these amazing cities to play with, from Beverly Hills to Santa Monica to Malibu to the South Bay to downtown, which is just amazing right now. So it became the most perfect backdrop and palette for us to create a really big, awesome city event around a food scene that was just, like, red hot and still is.
Yeah. So how did you go about creating it, and how many people are involved in your team to make this thing happen?
never, doesn't seem like we ever have enough. I tell you that, especially when we come up on the events. So I've got, you know, probably, like, there's, you know, 12, 14 people that work full time planning year round for Pebble in Los Angeles. But then our team obviously expands to a very, very large group of seasoned veterans that we've been working with, you know, for a long time, that help from, you know, cooking demos to the wine tastings to our grand tastings to dinners and events and all these things from all over the place. So, it grows to a very large team when we get to the actual event itself. But on a year-round basis, it's only, like, you know, 12 or 14 people. And it's one of those things where it's like, if you dream it, you can make it happen, you know. And so what we ended up doing was, some of them were very much firsts. I mean, where our event is right now, we're like the largest street closure in downtown LA history, you know, shutting down Grand Avenue right in front of Walt Disney Concert Hall on the Broad for 7.5 days in a city that's, you know, pretty much known for its traffic. So to get the mayor and the city council and, like, so many of the stakeholders in downtown, because they were so passionate about what was happening, there's so much development, economic development and cultural development happening in downtown LA, you know, to get them to approve that so that we could bring this awesome event into the heart of Los Angeles, it was a big deal. And so we red carpet, you know, the whole street, and you know have live entertainment. You know, De La Soul's coming out to perform this year, which is exciting. With the Roots, we've had you know Fergie from Black Eyed Peas host lunches. I mean, it's just we have such a great group of people that kind of come together in Los Angeles. And so we just pretty much dreamt up all these things. So we do events at the Fairmont in Santa Monica, you know, down in Malibu, the Malibu Beach Inn. We've played at Shutters and Montage and the L'Hermitage in Beverly Hills. And this year we take our Lexus Grand Tastings moved to Barker Hangar, which is going to be so cool. It's in Santa Monica on the west side of the airport. And it's this amazingly beautiful hangar that, you know, we'll have 30 chefs and hundreds of wineries each day, you know, as our daytime event, similar to what we do in Pebble Beach. We don't have fun with it, and it's about creating these special moments. And I guess what it is at the end of the day is how do you do it? You just dream up the craziest stuff you can dream up, and you just go get it done. And hopefully, if it's cool enough, somebody's going to show up and buy a ticket. And you know, we were lucky so far; that's worked out.
Yeah, and I mean, you're laughing at me from my intro of being, like, exhausting you. Like, listening to all that exhausts me. Like, I'm like, how do you make all that happen? It's incredible.
Caffeine, alcohol. You gotta have a good combination.
Yeah, so we're going to take a little break here, but don't go anywhere. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by Odetta Hartman, and this one's called Creek Time.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Okay, welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is David Allen Bernal, the CEO and co-founder of Coastal Luxury Management. We're talking about his festivals that he produces between Pebble Beach Food and Wine and the upcoming LA Food and Wine, which is August 25th and 28th. So David, like, what... I mean, putting together these massive events, I mean, what would you say are the biggest challenges? And I would think they're different between being in L.A., that you're in the city, as you said, and you're spread out, versus Pebble Beach, where I picture it being a little more remote, even though I haven't been there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll tell you something. The challenges always surprise you because they become challenges inherently for that reason, right? I mean, we have a full team of people that plan year round not to have challenges. So
right.
When you have challenges, you didn't see them coming. That's why they're challenges. You're like, oh, okay, we have to figure that one out. So, I mean, you know, it really depends. Gosh, Sherry, like over the 10 years and 16 events that we put on or so, like. It's been a million things. I mean, we've had a health department thing where someone's like, oh, we need a cover over those things, or we can't open the thing or open the party for the night, or we've had something with an alcohol beverage license. I mean, there's been a million little like, what happened there? And you fix it, you know, you handle it. And I think inherently one of the larger, let's say, top level challenges is that it's figuring out, I think when we went to LA, like, that is such a noisy media market, right? Like, in the sense that it's a very spread out city. There's a million points of contact, you know, with the people that live there every single day, between TV, radio, billboards, you know, e-blast. Like, so, like, cracking through that sort of market, I think, was a challenge, in the sense that we really needed to do something big enough and significant enough to have, if we were going to call something Los Angeles Food and Wine Festival, it better feel like it. You know, it better not just be something that was a cool little party in a corner of the city somewhere. So, you know, year one, we did 70 events across five cities in 4 days. So kind of daunting task, and I'm sure I've lost at least a few years off of my life for producing year one LA Food Wine Festival, but it was totally worth it because we had to have a bigger dream. We had to have a bigger idea because it's such a magnanimous food city. It's such a powerful place that it needed to be awesome. And I think that over the years, what you figure out is what works and what doesn't. Like, some things that work really well in Pebble Beach aren't the right thing for LA. You know, maybe they will be someday, or, you know, maybe not, but it's just you get a feel for it, and some things that work in LA don't really work in Pebble Beach. So and I'd say that's true with every market, you know, in every place. You get a different group of foodies and wine lovers together, and like they all gravitate towards different stuff. And so it's about adapting and trying to stay fresh. And, you know, I say to people all the time, though, it's kind of funny because I think there have been so many food and wine festivals popping up across this, you know, mm-hmm. I've given talks about this. I think it's almost too many. But I think when people say, well, what's new this year? And I say, well, you know what? Inherently, we're a food and wine festival, right? So I think that we have a tendency of wanting to over-theme things. Like, well, instead of burger, you know, bombastic, fantastic, it's going to be taco-licious.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know what? Chefs inherently are creating different things every year. And just by having an amazing different lineup of chefs, that if you had to go see the 150 chefs we have at LA Food Wine Festival from around the United States, what it would cost, like, you know, to visit all their restaurants from New York to Miami to Dallas to Chicago to, you know, wherever they're all coming from, and do that in a single afternoon, you know, as opposed to, I mean, it's pretty amazing. Like, it would cost you an absolute fortune to fly over the place and dine in all these spots. And in a weekend, to see their expression of what is cool and relevant right now in the food scene, and then to see obviously all the things that are coming out of, you know, the various vineyards and our mixologist teams, they're doing all these great drinks. Like, it's a snapshot in time of what's going on in the food world. And so, you know, I think we have a tendency just trying to make it for our events anyways. We just want them to be better. Like, we don't want them to be more gimmicky. We don't want another name or something, you know, like, here's the cool way to throw a cereal party. It's like, you know what? Give me the best chefs you can. Give me the greatest wine producers you can. Give me the best somms you can. Give me the best mixologists you can. Let's throw them in a room together, and that's a party. Like, you know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, that's going to be awesome because these guys are all bringing such an unbelievable A game that you can't go wrong. It's like if Thomas Keller shows up to your house for a barbecue and he's cooking, it's going to be good. It might just be a barbecue, but I can promise you it's going to be, you know, ridiculously awesome. So, that's kind of how we look at it, you know, is that, you know, I think that it doesn't have to be like a new theme or a new idea. The industry itself is that, right? Food and wine itself is constantly changing. I think that's what's fun about it.
No, that absolutely makes sense. I also think from going to the first year of LA, was it Train you had music? You started to bring in some bigger names of music, which I think now starts happening. The cross between the entertainment and the food has been happening now.
Yeah, exactly. We've had Questlove DJ sets. We've had Train. Right. We've had Gavin DeGraw. We've had Common. We've had The Roots. You know, we've got De La Soul this year. We've had we've had a bunch of celebrities do some really neat things on our behalf at various cooking demos. Or Ziggy Marley did something with Ben Ford. And we had Fergie host a luncheon. And it's fun because those are the things that just kind of randomly change and freshen up. Like, we're not going to do the same seminar. It's never going to be the same seminar we did last year. But there's still going to be seminars, right?
Right.
It's not going to be the same group of chefs cooking, but there's still going to be, you know, a grand tasting event. You're right. Like, the entertainment piece in L.A., and it's fun, too, because when you come to Los Angeles Food and Wine Festival, like, there's so many up-and-coming actors and actresses that just love food and wine. Like, the events are like riddled with people you see on TV every day. So if you're paying attention, or if you do watch a lot of television, you're like, whoa, like, am I like at a casting or something? Like, you know, it's just cool. Everybody's just hanging out and, you know, enjoying something. And, you know, it's very LA.
Very LA. So let me ask you my question I had from my last episode. I had on Francine Cohen, founder and editor-in-chief of Inside F&B, an online trade magazine that covers food, beverage, and hospitality. So she wants to know, what impact do you think your events have had on dining in America? She was noting that she's been impressed by what you've done, creating these events that are exclusive and beautifully curated and in stunning settings, as we've been saying. So, what do you, it's a big question. What do you think?
Wow. I mean, you know, in America is such a big thing. I think we think of ourselves, in much more humble light. I think that it actually shocks me when I think back, and that the reality is that, on average, let's say since Pebble Beach's inception, that we've seen, you know, about 65,000 to 70,000 people, and since LA started, it's a little bit bigger party, but we've had about the same amount, 75,000. So about 135,000-ish people or so have enjoyed our festivals over, you know, a period of time. And I think what's cool is that when you think about how we do them, like, it's not just, you know, we have this nice mix of up-and-coming chefs that you haven't heard of or killer chefs in cities you've never been to. And what we've seen is that people have gone out of their way to try something from a chef that they met at a festival, mm-hmm. because they made a connection, they had a bite that blew their mind. And they're like, you know what, honey? Next time we're in Chicago, let's make a drive to Wisconsin because I just want to see Paul Barlotta's spot there. Or I want to, like, whatever it is. Like, it's I guess in some small way, what we've shown, at least the people who have come to Pebble Beach in Los Angeles, is that there are amazingly talented individuals in every little nook and cranny of the United States. And if we can put those guys on your radar, that next time you might just make a trip just to go see them. But because that's a big deal now too, right? People probably go to Chicago more to see, you know, Alinea Aviary next, you know, and Royster than they go to see the Cubs. I'm pretty Cubs fan. That's a little bit of a joke, but I mean, it's that, like, the, you know, I'm from Chicago, by the way. I'm just saying that.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, it's like you're going to get this experience of this amazing team that's doing something. And what I love is that if we can introduce that to you in a single setting, like if you can commit to come to Pebble Beach Food and Wine for 4 days or Los Angeles Food and Wine Festival for 4 days, you're going to experience so many unbelievable bites and chefs and tastes that it is going to change the way you think about where you're going this next year. Because people are really into food and wine. They want to go experience. It's about experience today, right? It's not about collecting things, and it's obviously a big millennial conversation, but it's like we're all about experiences. And when you get a hint of something, you get so excited about it, you want to make that journey and try that. So I think if there's been anything, I appreciate that question. I think that we've opened people's eyes to things they would have otherwise not stumbled upon because it wasn't in their direct path of travel.
I like your answer. I think that makes sense. And yeah, perfect. And on that note, we're going to take another little break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to play my speed round game and talk some industry news. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guest today is David Allen Bernal. It is time for my speed round game. So, David, what this is I'm going to name a couple things, like either or preference, and you just pick your preference.
Okay.
How about that?
let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Wine, beer, cocktail, or mocktail?
Wine.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Okay, a few more. Producing events or opening restaurants? I finally got you on one.
Oh, man. Yeah, wow. I don't know. They don't have a reaction. They're so different. I think that producing events.
Okay. How about wearing a sports jacket or wearing T-shirt and jeans?
Sports jacket.
I don't think I've ever seen you in T-shirt and jeans. You're always dressed up. finest dressed person in the room. Okay. How about cheese plate or dessert?
A cheese plate.
And Manhattan, Brooklyn, Pebble Beach, or Los Angeles? It's a tough one.
Ooh,
or
gosh.
Chicago. I got to throw in Chicago there, too.
Los Angeles.
Okay. There we have it. Yeah.
Yep.
Awesome. You're very good at the game.
Until you stumped me right there. I was like, oh, God, what day is today? I'd probably say restaurants because I've got a festival coming up in 2 weeks. But after that, I'd say festival again. Whoa, yeah. They're all, everything's good. Everything's fun.
Yeah,
that was a fun game, Sherry. I dig it.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Well, you were good at it. You moved right along. You got the speed of it. So, industry news this week, I picked out a couple articles. So first, an Eater, it's an article titled Google Searches for Restaurants Now Highlight Critics' Reviews. This was by Virginia Chamley, and this is just talking about how on Google now, it's on their mobile app. When you search for a restaurant, results are now showing reviews of top critics are coming up with the search. So you might see a New York Times review. You might see something from Eater or CBS. I think it's a cool thing to get more, some review opinions when you're looking for a place and to learn more about the restaurant. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. I think the big debate is, there's always a debate, right?
Right.
But one of the big debates is the validity of crowdsourced comments, right? Whether it's on doesn't matter the platform, Yelp or OpenTable or otherwise, and the validity of reviewers, right? And I think that the magic touches both, right? I think it's really important. I think that reviewers have an important role in the sense that these are people that you can count on have eaten and dined in a lot of places, right? So I think that they're going to have a very well-educated, sometimes objective, hopefully objective approach to reviewing a restaurant. At the same time, I've read a lot of reviews I don't agree with, but that's because we all have taste. So what I like to do usually is see a general consensus of people and foodies that might have gone that are not professional reviewers, and then also see what the reviewers have to say. Like if I'm really interested in diving into where I want to eat. And I think that I think it's great. I think that the faster you can get that information to somebody, the better. Because if we're trying to make an off-the-cuff decision on where we're going to dine tonight or coming up shortly, and that information is easily at your fingertips, that's fantastic. Look, we're also all smart enough as consumers. Like, we know where to find Yelp if we want Yelp. We know where to find Eater if we want Eater. We know where to find, the New York Times review if we want the New York Times review. So, I think it's great that Google's decided to put something forward. So that but at the end of the day, there's a lot of really great sources for information. You got to figure out where your taste and palate mix.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think it's good to have more information out there, and you can skim through it. I don't think there's ever a review or a source that maybe I always agree with, but generally, you get a feel for publications and reviewers, and you can see what's out there and make your decision based on that.
Right.
And so,
yeah, I mean, that's the deal, right? I mean, it's like Pete's review per se, right? I just totally disagree. And, I mean, it was one of those things where I think per se is phenomenal. And I think there's few few culinary teams like TKRG, that Thomas Keller Restaurant Group, that do care as much about the customer as they do. I mean, there's a lot of great hospitality, but it's an amazing culture and it's an amazing team. I know a lot of the guys that work there personally, and so I have a, you know, I had a hard time with that one because I've had so many good experiences.
Yeah.
But you know, so that those are the things where you got to read it. And I think it's someone's perspective, right? And you have to make sure though that you match that with your own. And that you can read good and bad things and have a very contrary opinion to what someone said, and that's okay.
Yeah, I agree. So another article I had in Huffington Post Living talking about chefs turning Olympics athletes' leftovers into nutritious meals for the homeless in Rio. And this, I think, is really cool. It's being led by Italian chef Massimo Bottura, whose restaurant Osteria Francescana was named number one restaurant in the world this year on the world's best list. He's leading a team where they're taking leftover scraps from the Olympic Village and they're turning it into nutritious meals to feed the homeless in Rio. And I just think it's really, really amazing that they're making this
brilliant effort.
I
think that it's stuff like this where, I mean, these guys are getting so much great press and pickup from it, that taking something like the Olympics and using it as a benchmark for how we need to look at what happens just on an everyday basis in so many places, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of great chefs that have talked about food issues, like in the past, from, you know, Colicchio obviously has been strong. There's so many that have voice concerned and about how we're treating food, like how we're sourcing, how we're growing it, how we're transporting it, and how we're getting meals to people because we have some serious hunger issues. And I think this is a great way to bring light and creativity on the subject, right? And that hopefully what comes out of this is you know, an example that we can translate to numerous events, cities and, you know, functions, if you will, around the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Dan Barber did a pop-up last year called Wasted, where he was taking the food scraps and he made it into a whole menu. And I went, it was fabulous. I was impressed. And so, I mean, this, with Massimo Bottura, he has people like Alain Ducasse, Joan Rocha, like there's big names involved, and this whole campaign is called Refetto Rio. So, I think it's a wonderful thing to be doing.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we have to be as a community. We have to be looking for new solutions and ideas to problems that have been around for a long time, but we need to keep pushing the boundaries on what those solutions are. And I think it's great that the community is getting behind it in such an awesome way. And I think that a lot of good things are going to come out of it. If nothing else, it brings a lot of great awareness to the topic. And I think that, you know, when we start to figure out that we can make really delicious and nutritious things from what we otherwise thought were scraps, that's powerful. It's powerful.
Yes, I agree. Okay, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back. I'm going to do my solo dining experience, so don't go anywhere. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Each little carry favorite trinket. 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 Each little
Okay, welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. It's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Egg Slut. Here's the rundown. The location, 317 South Broadway in Los Angeles, California, inside Grand Central Market. the concept, a chef-driven gourmet food concept that was founded in 2011, inspired by a true love for eggs. The founder and executive chef, Alvin Kalin. Why did I go? Because I like eggs, and this is a hot concept. My experience. So on a recent trip to LA, I explored the cool market a bit, and then I found myself in the egg slut line, which sneaked around the back of the space, clearly revealing that this was a popular spot. Luckily, the line moved pretty quickly, and after about 15 minutes, I ordered, I found a seat at the counter, and I waited for my name to be called. What did I get? So I went with the Fairfax with cage-free soft scrambled eggs and chives, cheddar cheese, caramelized onions, and sriracha mayo in a warm brioche bun, plus I added bacon. And to drink, I had a cold brew coffee. My take, it lived up to the hype. I'd say hashtag yum. The ambiance, energetic, casual, open-air marketplace with lots of food activity and vendors. Perfect for a fab breakfast food cravings. Interesting tidbit. Kalin went to the Oregon Culinary Institute and staged at Castagna, Olympic Provisions, Bouchon, and the French Laundry, and he's participating in LA Food and Wine. Personal fun fact, I heard a rumor that Egg Slut might be coming to New York City. It's a rumor, but we'll see. And it's currently, they have two locations, other locations in California and one in Las Vegas. The cost was about $14.50, or I think it was $14.69 with the tax. And would I go back? Yes, I would. Their website is eggslut.com. I'm assuming you've been there, David.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, he's doing such a good job. It's great. And, you know, it's like it's one of those things where you focus on doing something that doesn't have to be complicated, and you do it really well, and you're going to see a lot of success.
And it has a good name.
And a great name, right? Yeah. I mean, come on, Egg Slut. Like, and I think we all found our inner Egg Slut when he launched that. You know, we're like, it's just great. And I couldn't be, like, more excited about the success that he's having with that. I think it's just amazing.
Yeah. No, it was good. I was glad I was able to go. I mean, like, I found the whole Grand Central Market. I was there a couple of months ago, and I just thought the whole place, I would have liked to eat everywhere. There were a lot of good options. It was my first time there, so Next trip.
You got to do it. Or, yeah, when you're at the Cosmopolitan next time, now they got one there. And, you know, God knows that's a pretty good idea if you've been out too late in Las Vegas.
Yeah, the perfect choice of food. So, mm-hmm. Okay, so it's time for the final question. So next, my next guests are Carrie Welsh and Mike Thielen. They're the co-founders of Feast Portland, which is another food and wine festival. This one takes place in the Pacific Northwest. And, David, so I wanted to see festival to festival. What would you like to ask Carrie and Mike?
I think mine's probably one not for the show, but I always like to know, you know, with other festival producers, kind of like what their biggest nightmare was. And I'd say that maybe next time we cross paths, they can tell me the actual truth, but they can, you know, have something more fun for the radio show. Because it's great. There's always some really fun behind-the-scenes things that happen at these anytime you get tens of thousands of people together, 125 celebrity personalities, and then, you know, 100 members of the media and everything else, like, there's bound to be a couple moments that are worth their own little Lifetime original miniseries. But
yeah,
so I would like to know the most non-super secret crazy thing that's ever happened at Feast Portland.
Okay, I might be able to base my whole show on that. Let's just talk stories. Because I feel like even the weather plays a big role in these festivals.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
We deal with all of it. Yeah, I've had years that were like 95 degrees, like the like record high. And we're talking about in April in Pebble Beach when it's normally like 55 degrees or something like that. So we had, you know, and we couldn't have rented enough generators and air conditioners in the state of California to make that tent like as cool as it needed to be. Like that happened one year, and then we had one year that was seriously so torrential, the downpour, that, you know, the entire equestrian field turned almost into swamplands. So you just never know. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, we dealt with all of it. There's a fix for everything. It just usually takes a checkbook.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I wish you the best with this year's coming up festival. I know it's going to be fantastic. And
thank you. Yep, LAFW.com. If anybody's in the L.A. area, you guys got to come check it out. August 25th to the 28th, we're going to have 4 days of fun.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry I'm going to miss it. Maybe I'll get out there next year.
Me too.
And I'm going to work on that Pebble Beach food and wine getting out there for it. I really want to make it happen. You can hold me to it. How about that?
Deal.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. We've known each other a long time through the industry, and it's just really great to hear more about your story. And I wish you just much continued success.
Thank you so much, Sherry. It was great being on, and I hope to see you soon.
Great. Thank you. So my guest today has been David Allen Bernal. He's the CEO and co-founder of Coastal Luxury Management. That includes Pebble Beach Food & Wine, LA Food & Wine, Restaurant 1833, and Cannery Row Brewing Company. And their website is coastalluxurymanagement.com. And as David said, for LA, you can find out more information at lafw.com. You can also follow them on social media at CLMGMT and at LA Food Wine. You can follow me at Sherry Bayer at Bayer PR at All Industry. Check out my Facebook page, it's All in the Industry, and my websites are BayerPublicRelations.com and SherryBayer.com. Now, believe it or not, that's a wrap up here for me for the spring summer season. I'm taking a couple weeks off and I'm going to come back with my next show on Wednesday, September 14th. That will be again at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And that show will be kicking off with Feast Portland, which with Carrie Welsh and Mike Thielen. So in the meantime, you can check our archived shows. They're at heritageradionetwork.org. They're also on Stitcher and iTunes. Thanks always to my engineer, Pierre. And thank you all for listening. I'm Sherry Bayer. Enjoy the rest of the summer. And as always, thanks for being part of All in the Industry. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Well, you-